Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, March 21st of 2023. By the way, this is the first full day of spring. Spring began yesterday at about 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you can adjust accordingly based on what your time zone was. Of course, in the southern hemisphere, like southern Africa, as well as the land down under in South America, for you guys, it's now welcome to fall, autumn. It's the 21st day of March 321. And also, so 2 weeks ago we had episode number 777. Let me think here. Wednesday would have been 778, 779. 80, 81, 82. This would be number 783. Because for a while, I hadn't really been tracking, you know, how many. But now, I'm back to tracking again, like, because then people can know, you know. And it's a testimony. It's a testimony that God's been faithfulness. He's been faithful, and I'm still alive, still doing the broadcast, still people. God's word is still going out. People are still being delivered. People are still being set free. Still.
Yeah.
Because the God I serve still delivers. He still sets people free. He still makes people that are anxious not be anxious and fearful anymore.
Right.
He says faith over fear. He doesn't. When the world says be afraid, Jesus said faith over fear. And it doesn't matter whether we talk about, you know, from during that whole COVID thing, which there are people who are still afraid, you know, with that, and they still won't go anywhere. When people are not dying of COVID, they were even a couple of years ago. Folks, our hospitals don't have the COVID patients that they did even in January of 2022. So if you want to go based on COVID hospitalizations and COVID deaths, they're not dying like they were in early 2022. We don't have even the cases that we did. So we don't have the same reason to fear. But even for God's people, they shouldn't have been fearing all along. There's churches that closed that should have stayed open. Some churches have never reopened. Certain churches have never reopened. But my point is not, you know, to bring up the COVID thing. My point is faith over fear, regardless of what it is that you might be fearing, you know, might be afraid of, whether it's afraid of, you know, of a spider, whether it's afraid of heights, whether it's afraid of, because of course there's other things that people fear besides just, you know, a sickness or disease. We still have the real world and other things that people fear, heights, you know, crowds, you know, different things that they're afraid of, like real super tight spaces. And that can even mean like certain closets. Some people are almost afraid of their closet because it's too crowded. You know that, right? Aren't some people afraid of their own closet because they think it's too crowded?
I don't know if it's too crowded, but they're afraid of their closets.
But meaning because it's so tight because how tiny it is.
Oh, yeah, claustrophobic.
That kind of crowded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, even if you alone go in it, you have crowded it. And they don't like it because it's crowded with stuff. So I don't just mean like a crowd, like crowded, like a crowd of people in that closet. I mean, it's crowded because it's a very tight space. And so people are, but Jesus said, faith over fear. And guess what? I'm going to reveal something to you that I pray you, those of you who know Jesus, I pray that your pastor, or at least from somewhere, you've heard this. Newsflash! Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da! Miracle Man News, here to tell you that when you're faithful, you're fearless.
Yeah.
When you are fearful and you got all that fear bubbled up on the inside of you and you're afraid and that anxiety is through the roof and you don't have control over that anxiety, you're faithless.
Yeah. Horrible feeling.
So, and that fear is just trying to rule your life. Then how is faith going to work in that? Like how is that faith going to work for you to get that miracle that you need? How? It won't work the way it will if you come before him without fear. Now we fear God, but at the same time, we're not like afraid of him. We don't go hide from him.
A respect.
It's a respect. Now, when I was little, I can remember I was about 6 years old or so, maybe seven, and they caught on like not being fearful. And I had this little feeling in my mind of a feeling like almost like puking, like someone puking when they said fearful. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, like that does not sound good. And that kind of gave me a hint, like that's not good to be fearful.
Right.
And the fact that it felt that way was like kind of my hint that it's not good to be fearful. And so I kind of feel like maybe God gave that to me.
I think so, like in a little alarm system.
Like in that little way. Like obviously he didn't do it to try to gross me out or anything. But it's just somehow just kind of set off an alarm. Maybe he meant it to come out as something else and maybe not something so gross, but you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like somehow he got his point across to me.
Yeah.
Now little Rivers. That fear stuff is not something you want to get into.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to be fearful. You don't want to be living in fear. That he wants to protect us. At that age, you know, you got your mother and your dad, your father, you know, you got your mother, and I didn't have a dad at that time, but you know, you got your mother and your grandparents and your, you know, your people around you that you love, that love you and they care about you. You know, you got, so it's like you got that support system, but beyond that, you know, you got God who takes care of you and doesn't want you to be afraid. And so I learned since then, because before that, I was afraid of a little wagon at the county fair. On a sunny day, and I don't know if it was sunny or not, but on a day in, you know,
yeah,
in 1995, Midland County Fair, I went on the strawberry and some other things, horses, stuff like that, did okay. Wagon. Oh, I was afraid when it was doing the different things. I don't know if it was the sound of it on the pavement or what it was that was making me like not like it.
Huh.
And usually most kids, the wagon is one they're just fine with, right? Usually.
Yeah, wagon ride.
Do you know of anyone who didn't like the wagon other than me?
Oh, I'm sure there's been plenty. Of kids who
maybe even screamed, "Get me off this wagon!"
Very likely, I'm sure there has been.
But you never saw a wagon fit take place.
No, I have not.
Like all the wagon stuff that you've seen.
I know. I was afraid when I took Madison on one for the first time.
On the wagon?
Mm-hmm.
What?
I wanted to make sure I'd sit somewhere where the railings were, where my back was not so.
Did some of those little kids kind of give the look of, "I'm bored"? Like some of the older ones, maybe some of like the 8-year-olds you might have been on it or something?
Yeah, I can see that for sure, yeah. Well,
they might be like, I'm bored, let's go ride on the little horsey.
Way different levels of thrills.
Like they, like it, where like the strawberry, at least it goes up in the air on that. But
yeah,
maybe part of it that I didn't like was the sound of like how it was on the pavement and stuff.
Mm-hmm, I bet
you. You bet that's what it was.
Uh-huh.
And it felt like maybe it was wasn't it moving a little bit fast too?
They do. Yeah.
Not as fast as like Hemi or anything.
Ew.
Like, ew. Like even the Ferris wheel goes faster than that, right?
For sure.
Like no adult ride that I would ride goes as slow as the wagon.
Right.
What about maybe the other swing that's not the cliffhanger? Is that close or no?
No, I don't even think so.
So there's no adult ride that I could go ride at the fair this summer that would be like similar.
I don't believe so.
What, maybe the bumper cars really?
Well, those end up going faster too. I mean, I'm sure because the wagon, you can't go super fast.
Good.
You got to keep it to a minimum.
So I don't know why I was so afraid of that wagon. But it was literally like the next summer after my little wagon fit.
Mm-hmm.
After my little wagon fit. And sure enough, I went to a different county fair, went on the wagon again, and it was fine.
Yay.
Because I was thinking, yeah, I'll go on the wagon. And I, not even thinking of, oh, by the way, last year, remember the little wagon fit you had? Your little six-year-old stuff? You're about to turn seven on Saturday.
Oh,
but
boy, you better do it.
But like your little wagon fit you had? Part of my brain was saying, go do it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my mom wasn't there to see me do it. I wish she would have been. And then I'm like, see the wagon?
Yeah.
And then if I would be like, remember the wagon fit I threw last year? Not
I
this year.
It. Yeah.
I conquered that dumb little wagon, you know
yeah,
thing. I only call it dumb because I think it was dumb that I had that fit on the wagon.
Lots of different things that our flesh gets annoyed by.
Because the wagon to me, you feel like if someone's going to get scared, you'd be scared of the strawberry first, wouldn't you?
Right, you would think so.
You would think
it goes so fast.
And I thought,
but
it's nice. So like, I thought like, oh, it's nice. It's a nice little strawberry.
Hey.
As you can tell, all this midway carnival talk is making me wish for warmer weather.
Oh, me too.
Thoughts of, you know, carnival rides and stuff.
Yeah.
One time, listeners, one day years ago, I was a young adult, about 21 or so, and one time, you know, my county fair here in Midland was just getting underway. Like, here at my county fair, where I live, the first day of the fair, you don't have the rides running. Sometimes you have a concert, some things like that. But first day of the fair, you don't have the rides running.
Yes, we're livestock.
But the other 6 days, you have the rides and stuff. But for whatever reason, I could hear in my mind when I was in my bedroom in my mom and dad's house and taking a nap, and I could hear in my mind, I could hear the sound of a motor. It was like cliffhanger. I'm going to say it was the cliffhanger. It was something in kind of like slow motion. So it wasn't going like all crazy high, crazy fast or anything like that, but I could hear the motor. So I pictured it being like the cliffhanger, kind of slowing down or maybe just starting up very slowly. And I thought, ooh. And then I didn't say this out loud, but I thought, the rides start tomorrow. But in my mind, I was also thinking, well, you're not going to the rides tomorrow. You'll go to the rides in a couple of days, and you'll ride with, you know, a pretty cool person. You'll go have a good time and ride some rides. And it's funny. Sometimes in my little dreams, you know, I hear things. Other people, you know, see things in their dreams, or they'll see visions. So one time Dr. Rodney Howard Brown told a story a few weeks ago that, and in the story he mentioned, so some man decides, well, I'm going to go on a fast for a little while, and I'm going to see if I can hear from the Lord or not. My goal is to hear from the Lord. I need some direction in my life. And obviously, you know, if you do it, if you're going to fast because you want to hear from the Lord, in my mind, that would tell me, you know, you probably want some direction or something. And for him to speak to you and tell you, you know, what you should be doing, or, you know, or this is on its way, or whatever. So he goes home. He even starts to pray, I'm sure. I don't know if he goes to pray or not, because about an hour later, hour and a half later or so, he sees a vision. And you're thinking, yay, vision from God, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Oh, except for one thing. It's a vision of a fridge with the door open. He goes to his fridge, opens the door, notices fried chicken in that fridge. Mm-hmm. Eats it. I remember, that's not a fast. You gave into your flesh, buddy, after saying you were going to go on a fast to hear from God. And he said, and that was not a vision. I don't think that was a vision. Do you?
I don't know. A mirage.
It was, maybe it was just his dream, like how I heard that ride.
Yeah.
It was like the thought of the fridge. Maybe he heard the sound of the fridge.
So you think that a dream, if he ate food in his dream, that...
No, he actually went to his fridge.
Oh, he actually...
He actually went to his fridge and got food and got the fried chicken out of it.
I gotcha. Yeah, no, that's not bad.
After he had a vision, he said he had a vision of the fridge. I don't get how God's going to give you a vision of a fridge unless there's something spiritual behind it. Unless it's about someone being freed from alcohol or something, the vision of the alcohol is in it and you need to get it out.
Yeah, me too.
But other than that, if you're not actively fighting and you don't know anybody that's actively fighting alcohol, you're just trying to fast to hear from him, I don't get how you're going to see a vision of the fridge.
No.
In that case, it was certainly your flesh. And it was not a vision from God.
For sure.
And it was you were hungry, and maybe you even heard it, like how I heard in my mind the sound of the cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Which I can now probably verify was probably the cliffhanger because of like how slow it sounded, because I didn't hear, you know, the other noises kicking in from the Himalaya and Ring of Fire, which have similar motors. Because you realize that those are similar motors as the cliffhanger, right?
I guess it's just... Yeah.
You know? Because the
Himalaya, when it's starting, sounds like that.
And you can tell, like, by the different noises how fast it's going. And like the different, so in his mind, maybe he could hear the sound of him the door being open,
uh-huh.
And we'll say that it's on the cooling mode, so it's cooling the food, and then fridge door closing again. Because sometimes in your dream, sometimes some people hear things in their dreams, like me. Other people don't. I know because I've asked people, but. You know, truth be told, you know, we should not be all living in fear just because of something we saw or, you know, maybe something we heard or anything like that. No, we live by faith. Because the Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. I don't know about all of you listeners individually, but I know this. I'm a just person. I would consider myself just, righteous. you know, I consider myself a good born again Christian. That's what I think of me. Now, but at the same time, I don't allow myself to think more highly than what I ought to think.
Right.
Because the Bible tells us, New Testament, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. So with that in mind, I don't allow myself to do that.
Right.
I exercise with a bit more discipline than that as far as how I view myself. And even how I view other people, I try to have a bit more discipline than that, because that's the way Jesus would want me to. The way I see it, you know, you do what you want, but you, I mean, you want to hurt yourself? Go ahead. I don't want to. Because ultimately, what I want is to hear Jesus say to me, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." That's what I plan on him saying to me. Mm-hmm. And you know, prayerfully,
I have faith. I'm going to hear it too.
I believe. You know, I'm believing that he will. But that, you know, involves you submitting yourself to him. Mm-hmm. Of course, each person has to examine themselves before the Lord. And that's how they're going to know for sure. Because the truth of the matter is, on Judgment Day, we will all give an account for every thought, every word, and every deed. And Jesus will judge every one of those accordingly. Students, those of you students who are in school, whether we want to talk about, you know, elementary, middle, high, college, regardless. So on Judgment Day, there'll be a test. There will be a test. It will be the most important test you take. He will judge your works, your deeds. You know, if you're in college, you could study all the books for all the tests in January before the finals come. In like late April or May or whenever, you could be studying those books right now and being ready to take those tests, but and be all studied up and so ready to go and ready to ace those tests, but you won't know when the trumpet's going to blow, so you have to live for him the best you can so you can do well on the test. And it'll be pass or fail, heaven or hell.
Covered in his blood or not.
Covered in his, or not. It's not going to be like, oh, you got a 60% on the test, you get a D.
Uh-huh.
You get a 50, you get an F. You got a 77, you know, 79, you got a C+. You got an 84, you get a B. You got an 89, you get a, sorry, I can't give you an A, but I'll give you a B plus.
Right.
You got a 92, 91, A minus. You got a 94, A. You got a 99, 100, oh, great, yeah, A plus. Now he's not going to be necessarily doing this. Scorecards. I don't think it'll be heaven or hell. It'll be heaven or hell. That's the way it's going to be.
Yep.
And it's not like just because you got 100% and you did everything, which by the way, because all fell short of the glory of God, there will be no 100%. There will be no 100% on that test. Unless it's just 100% because you told the truth. You know what I mean? The only way to get 100% is that you told the truth. You know what I mean? Even though truthfully, you know, all have fallen short. I'm sure, yeah, there'll be some that get good 90s and, you know, some nice A's. You know, I would hope to get an A. But truth is, it's going to be heaven or hell.
Are you saved by his blood or not?
But yeah, it's going to be. That's how it's going to be. It's going to be heaven or hell. It condemned or free. You know, that's how it's going to be. Sanctified or not. And it's going to be a test. And that'll be the ultimate exam. And it'll be like pop quiz. I'm telling you that this exam will take place, but it's not like you'll know about it a week in advance to be prepared. You know, it'll just on judgment day will come, and the exam will take place. The exam of your life. What did you do? You'll be expected to be truthful with them. And just felt like I was supposed to mention it from this angle.
Yeah.
I've done it before, but I'm just thinking, you know, right now because, you know, you have certain places that are on spring break right now. And so I'm just making a time, you know, think about yourself. Where are you with God? And it's not just for students. We all have to look at it and go and examine ourselves and be like, where are we with God? So in a way, when we do that, it's like we're already taking an exam, but it's not like it's being done on ourselves. It's like we're examining ourselves. It's not like, you know, we're getting, it's like a practice quiz, a pretest.
There you go.
It's like a pretest ungraded worksheet. Which is essentially what we're doing when we just examine ourselves, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, like, so in that way, it's like, sort of like preparing for the test, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the best way to prepare for when that test happens.
Betcha.
Is when you examine yourself, and like God tells us to.
Mm-hmm.
Because our works will be tried by fire. They'll be tried.
Oh, you betcha.
And so I just felt like I was supposed to deal with that. All right, a couple things I'm going to mention, and then we'll get into a couple songs, and then we'll get into the word. By the way, we have, we do have Brother Vaughn Roten's coming back tomorrow night. Gonna talk to him a little bit about what he does with the football again. And also, I'm gonna ask him about March Madness.
All right.
A bit. And so it'll be great to have Mr. Vaughn Roten back again, as it was a blast when I had him back in January.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank you, Jesus, for that. First of all, I want to remind you about the book Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life. It's about, and it chronicles, you know, what's happened in my life, you know, over the years and how great God's been. And you get a two for one. What I mean by that is this. You're getting two testimonies in there. Not one testimony, but two. Because you not only get my testimony, you get the testimony of my mother and what happened with her. And I'm so grateful to God. She did not give birth to me messed up, doing drugs, you know, on speed, drinking alcohol, smoking cigarettes, messed up, not knowing Jesus, on the wrong road, on the highway to hell. She got off the highway to hell, got on the highway to heaven.
Amen.
She came She got free from the drugs. She got free from the cigarettes. She got free from the alcohol. She used to be a hippie. She used to be a hippie. By the way, if you haven't seen Jesus Revolution, I recommend you go see it. I recommend you go see it in theaters. It's a very good movie. I saw it twice. And I will tell you, there's parts of it that are emotional. But it's a great movie. You know, there's different miracles even that happens in there. And it's a great thing. And I believe in God that America's going to see revival again. We're going to see America shaken. I believe there's a miracle in the works. I do believe there's a miracle in the works. I really do. And that the church will come alive again. And that we'll even see it breaking out in some of our stadiums. I pray that we'll even see it in some of our stadiums. I think it would be cool if sometimes it happened at some of these games. You know, where people are, you know, have to go up there on the field and testify in front of the whole stadium about how they got healed. Mm-hmm. They like to be the point where after the game or at halftime or whatever, where someone's like, I got to testify of what God has done.
Yeah.
That would be a great thing to have happen.
A lot of people.
That would be a great way to have happen, like, even if it was like the Super Bowl and stuff, mm-hmm. or something, or
right.
or if between certain innings at some of these baseball games, if you had some hymns,
mm-hmm.
you know, like some things like that. I've heard of that happening in other countries, like a certain sport or whatever. Or maybe it could be, you know, maybe in certain stadiums, you have these revivals that have broke out. And then it'll become so big that they'll have to be in the open fields. You know, whatever. It'll be what God wants.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that how that happens would be based on what God sees, and that would be the right people doing it. And that ultimately, though, revival starts in us.
Yeah.
Revival starts in us. And I love to talk about, you know, what I would love to see happen, you know, with the revival and the places I would love to see it go and things like that. But ultimately, it starts in us. It starts in us, in our hearts, our own hearts, our own want to, you know, starts with us repenting. It starts with us, each one of us at an individual level, getting hungry. And getting on fire for him. That's where it comes from. That is where revival comes from. It doesn't just come from a preacher standing in their pulpit screaming and crying out to God for revival. It starts with the people. It starts with the people.
Mm-hmm.
Is where it comes from. I'm not saying I'm sure sometimes they just pray. But I mean, all the screaming thing in the world they could do from the pulpit, it's got to be the people.
Yeah.
It's got to be the people. It's got to be the people not being distracted. Yeah. And guess what? Newsflash, Miracle News Network. Notifications that you receive on your phone are not anointed. Notifications are not anointed. No, they're not. They're not anointed. So sometimes, you know, maybe when you're praying, you know, before God, maybe sometimes you just need to turn off our electronic stuff.
Right.
Turn off. Sometimes you got to turn that thing off and get in the Word of God, because you want to know something about your Bible. You want to know something about what's my Bible. I can't check sports with it. I can't check Yeah, the sports scores with it. I can't check the weather with it. I can't go on Facebook and or de-Facebook or regular Facebook and check out people's statuses. I can't go on Twitter Bopper. I can't go on YouTube or YouTube and see what people have posted for videos. I can't check the mail. I can't check my texts. I can't take phone calls with it. But I got the Word of God.
Amen.
And
what if your Bible is on your phone?
Yeah, but there's that's great. But sometimes you gotta turn away. It's good to turn away from the distractions because here's the thing: you could be reading your Bible, enjoying listening to your Bible. 2 minutes into it, ping. 30 seconds later, ping. Minute later, ping.
And then boom.
And then bing, distracted. Better see what that is. I just think, oh Lord, please let just people, someone trying to encourage me by sending me a Bible verse.
Right,
what?
Yeah.
It's not? It's pictures of the cat?
Where you look up a word and then you end up in the rabbit hole down Google?
Oh boy, yeah.
It
can take you very lot of different places.
And it'll take you all kind of different places, maybe even some places you didn't want it intended.
Yeah,
it's like, I'm trying to study the Word of God, not getting to all these other things.
Yeah.
Oh, my, yes. They're like, I'm trying to study the Word, not study this other stuff. They're like, what am I doing? So sometimes
I love
you just gotta
prayer closet.
So sometimes you just gotta turn that thing off. Mm-hmm. To be poor God. And seek his face. And not follow your vision and not follow that vision to the fridge. What?
Yeah. Prayer closets are good.
Your prayer closet.
That's what's
not
nice.
The fridge.
Right. I need to go to open the door to my prayer closet, shut the door, no electronics, and just be with him.
And don't even listen. And don't even try listening for the fridge.
Oh, no, no.
It's been a while since I've heard that term. Can you explain what a prayer closet is?
So what it is it's like whatever place you make that it's just like you and God. It doesn't necessarily have to be a closet. But Pastor has told a story before about a prayer closet. He's told a story about where he took everything out of the closet of his house, including Miss Vicki Barclay's shoes, which, by the way, she has. She probably has money invested in shoes because she has so many pairs of them. But according to him, but nonetheless, he basically takes a ton of stuff out of his of the closet of his bedroom, and he figures. And so there's nights that he goes in there, and he almost falls asleep in the prayer closet. But the thing is that the pastor said. You don't necessarily have to be in a closet. It doesn't necessarily have to be in a closet, but he thought it had to literally be a closet for whatever silly reason. He thought it had to be in a closet and that he was to lock himself in a closet.
So basically, it just means a safe space to be alone with God?
Yeah, that's more or less what it is. It's not necessarily have to be in your closet and take all your shoes out that you might or might not have. That you might or might not have stock in so many, like 60 pairs of shoes.
That's good, because I think I could only get half my one thigh in my closet.
Some people have like 60 pairs of shoes.
Oh, boy.
I'm sure some do. Some
I
ladies do.
I filled mine up with a whole bunch, maybe 60 pillows and stuffed animals.
my mama has tons of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know my mama has tons of shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Some people do. Nothing wrong with that. I was just teasing about the shoe thing. That's all.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, you go online, check out the book Rivers of Miracles. Go to the website Rivers of Miracles, RYRIVERS of Miracles.com to find out how the book can be a blessing into your life. And I really do pray that as you read the book, that it will increase your faith.
Yeah.
Because the truth is it takes faith to live. And if you're believing God to do a miracle in your life, then you really need that faith.
Yeah.
Because you got to be able to trust in Him. Faith is having trust in Him that He's going to do what He said in His Word. It's like as a parent, Parents have to be able to trust their kids, especially as they get older. You know, you have to be able to trust that your kids will do the things that you're asking of them to do. So when we believe for him to do things for them, when we believe for Jesus to do things for us, you know, heal our bodies, we have to have that trust that he's going to do it,
yeah,
rather than just be, I wish he would heal my eyes. I wish he would, you know. I got so beyond that I wish thing,
yeah,
at a young age, because I got taught that he was the healer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that it wasn't based on some little wishy-wishy-wishy, wishing upon a star. You know, nothing against when you wish upon a star. Good song.
Mm-hmm.
But zippity-doo-dah, which Disney tried to ban. I don't know why. They said it was racist. It's not.
Zippity-doo-dah.
It's just a little fun one. Back when Disney was actually decent entertainment. Because there was a day when Disney was totally just, you know, was just fun and not necessarily dirty, but just fun.
Yeah.
You know, and they had good songs like Zippity Doodah and stuff like that. But I'll get off on that. My point is, you know, you watch it if you wanna, don't wanna, don't watch it if you don't wanna.
Right.
But nonetheless, that movie. But if you're looking for a movie to watch, yeah, you can go ahead and watch Jesus Revolution. That is a great movie. Go ahead and watch it. You'll be glad you did. But anyhow, the other thing I want to remind you about that I always try to mention to you every show is about PayPal. And you can go online to sow your seed. You can go to paypal.com. In the search bar, you'll want to type in my name, Rivers Shukla. Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. Last name, Shukla. S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind two things. Number one, there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. That's the first thing I want to remind you of. The second thing I want to remind you of is that the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla. Both of those are capitalized. So please, if you would so kindly, just make notes of both of those. That the first R in Rivers and the S in Shukla are capitalized, and then also there's a space between Rivers and Shukla. And then you can decide, you get to decide how much money you want to give. And about that, I have a policy here of no pressure. No pressure. If you feel pressure about a certain amount of what to give, that's God. I don't do pressure. I don't come up on here and be the pressure cooker and decide to use my Log Talk Radio episodes as fundraisers. I don't do that here. You want to hear someone who maybe uses their radio time to fundraise? Go on ahead. Other stations and that will do share-a-thons and what have you. You've heard of those, right? Like where they try to raise that money. I don't do that here. And there's no pressure trying to get you to give any certain amount. No pressure. Because I don't believe in pressure options here. I mean, pressure offerings here.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, I believe it's best decided between you and God.
Mm-hmm.
So you obey what God gives in your heart. And so he who has not gathered with me scatters abroad, is what I believe. There's a verse that I want to sow into your life. It says, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Even as your soul prospers. So some things that we deal with, you know, you know, oppression, depression. That's our soul. So how's your soul doing? Dr. Buckley, the last couple services, taught on soul ties. And the only soul ties you should be in are ones that are like very spiritual. Or like, you know, you're married to this good, godly husband or wife. And if that's your, if that's the soul tie, you know, you better be tied tight. Like highest level knot you can get. Mm-hmm. Till death do your part. Mm-hmm. And a soul tie is not a bow tie. Because a bow tie you can easily undo.
Yeah.
It's like a knot.
Fishing knot.
And it can be a very bad knot. By bad, I mean like very hard to undo. Like imagine if you're trying to untie your shoes, so maybe you can get them off better, but you're finding that they're in a very hard, tight knot. Well, you might need something to help you to undo that knot. But I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health. You know, as your soul prospers. About that, I want you to prosper. I pray that you would prosper. I call you blessed in the name of Jesus. Get out of poverty and into prosperity. And even if you're not poor, and even if maybe you used to be poor, and now you're maybe in the natural, and let's say in the natural, you're not poor anymore, get rid of poverty mentality if you have it. And that mindset of, oh, we're poor.
Survival.
Oh, we're poor. Well, don't you want to do? Oh, we're poor. I don't know. We're poor.
Right.
Get away. Get away from that. Don't believe in poverty. Believe in prosperity, and yeah. And the blessing of God being upon your life. The blessing, and as you sow your seed. I pray that God blesses you. But here's the thing. I will say this. You need to be a tither in order to have the blessing of God on your life. You will need to be a tither. Now you don't necessarily tithe to me. I'm not a pastor. So I can't do, you know, what the priest by the Bible is instructed to do. Find yourself a great church at least that you can tithe to in the meantime. And get that tithing right. Because I believe you need to have your tithe right in order to get blessed. Don't you believe you have to get your tithe right first? Because that way when you get your tithe right, the devourer can be rebuked on your behalf by God. And I know, listeners, I'm sorry, but there's just things that just keep kind of coming to me that I feel like, yeah, I'm supposed to say this.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like you just, you know, get going and you just get on a roll.
Yeah.
And I felt like when I used that verse, I felt like in my mind I was like, kind of tell them, you know, what does that mean about this? Soul singing, so you know, make sure with God that your tithe is up to date, because unpaid tithe, God doesn't like that. Eventually you will pay your tithe by either the devourer, things will happen, or you know you'll tithe and you'll get blessed by God. Either way, the tithe will be paid. That's a good way to put it, isn't it? Either way, that tithe is going to get paid, whether you want it to or not. So I thank God for the blessing of the Lord. I always pray over the tithe. I mean, I always pray, listeners, when I get notification that you've sown seed, I always pray over that seed, and I always pray over you. That God bless your life and bless you abundantly. And so now I'm going to sing a couple of songs, and then I'm going to get into the Word of the Lord. The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness comes, it won't prevail. I'm not backing down from any giant. My God will never fail. My God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. To the God I serve knows only how to triumph. And I know how this story ends. Yes, I know how this story ends. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good, yes. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good, yes. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Yes, you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Yes, you take what the enemy meant for evil. You turn it for good. You turn it for good. Yes, you take what the enemy meant for evil. Then you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet sound in your ears. Sing it to him again. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Yes, Lord, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord, we love you, 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 Lord, we thank 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 you. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for what you are to each and every one of us. That to each and every one of us. We all need something different from you. What one might need, someone might need something else, but from you. But I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are moving on our midst. You are moving on each and every one of our behalf. You're making a way for each and every one of us. When it seems that there is no way for us and like nothing is possible. But for you, Lord, nothing is impossible. All things are possible for you, Jesus. Not one thing, not two things, not three. All things are possible. Every miracle you can still do. Because I know, Jesus, you don't have a miracle. You do not have a miracle shortage. There is no, and I thank you, Jesus, that you're still in the miracle working Jesus today. And that's why we come before you and just have this moment of worship. And I know, Jesus, that was you. And I know, Lord, thank you, Jesus, your presence is here. Pray, Jesus, that your presence infiltrates wherever these people are that are tuning in, that they can just feel this there. And they can just feel your presence, feel your peace that is present here. And it's tangible. Thank you that these listeners, that each and every one of these listeners who is tuned in right here, right now, will receive something from you tonight, whatever it is. Thank you, Lord, for the time in the Word tonight that we have to study your Word. Thank you that these listeners will receive whatever, anything and everything that you have for them tonight. For you know what each person needs. Thank you that you're meeting their needs right there, right where they sit, whether it be something financial, whether it be a healing in their body, a healing in their mind, you know, healing in a marriage, healing in a relationship of some kind, that thank you that you are the healer. You are the strengthener. You're the God who breaks things that need to be broken because you break the yokes of bondage so that these people can be free in you, in your mighty name. And now I make my confession. Now I say this every time, but I mean it with all my heart. I pray that sponsors and partners will come into this program. I say that finances will come into this program. I say that increases, more and more people will find out about this program, and they won't only find out. They'll tune in, and they'll tell others about the show, and then they'll tell others, and they'll tell others, and they'll tune into this program. And most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls that will come into your kingdom. And that they will then become mobilized to tell other people and to get more people saved. And I thank you, Jesus, for that. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen, and amen. Go with me if you would. And I want to go to Ephesians. I want to go to 3. Praise God. Ephesians 3. We'll see what all the Lord has in store for us tonight. Amen. Thank God for the Word of God.
You betcha. Ooh.
Yes. What would we do without it? Thank God for His Word. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I would do without it. Keep thinking, you know, how would we make it? How would I make it without Jesus? I can kind of vouch for me and say, I don't think I'd be here. Yeah. Yeah, because of reports that the medical profession gave to my mother. But I trust in God above what I do, and above what I trust in anything else.
Yeah.
I trust in him first and foremost. So I'm going to start reading in Ephesians 3, verse 1. And I want to encourage you guys, be a part. Don't just sit at home and watch. Be a part. So as I study, you study. If I pray again, you pray. And you just be a part of this. So I'm going to begin with verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul. And by the way, Jade, if you're still here, this is not talking about Paul from Comic-Con. It's talking about, this is something a bit more serious.
Oh.
This is something a bit more serious.
You
this
mean Paul
comic.
Who used to be Saul?
Yeah, this Paul. The
okay.
real Paul.
Okay.
Not the guy from...
Well,
yeah, for
the guy from Comic-Con, he's a real guy too.
Right, I know, but for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, it says. And then it says, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together with one body, and sharers together in the purpose in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his. Although I am less than least than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this ministry, which for ages past by kept hidden in God, who created all things. His insight was that now, through the Christ, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In him, through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth desires its name. I pray that out of glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. For I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, rooted and grounded in love, we could say, rooted and grounded in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses, that you may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. Now by him who is able to do immeasurably more than whatever we shall ask or think, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And amen. So, what you see here is Paul was writing to the Ephesians, but basically part of what he's saying is we're saved by grace through faith. We're saved by grace through faith. There are preachers who will preach from their pulpits, and they will tell their congregations, oh, saved by grace. Oh, it's under the blood. What does it matter? I do whatever I want. Hey, saved by grace. Oh. Except for one thing. We're saved by grace through faith. It's not like, oh, I'm saved by grace, so I can just go do whatever I want, even if God disapproves. No, not how it works. It's not how it works. We are saved by grace through faith. And we're saved by grace through him. It's through faith in him that we are saved. It's through faith in him. It's not through our own little, it's not just by our own little ideologies or our own little, you know, my pep talks or whatever, you know. Yep, no, it's through faith in God, faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in Christ Jesus. By him that we are saved. And it's the grace that covers all sin. So I don't believe in all that goofy grace stuff. You know, the goofy grace. I believe in the grace given us by Jesus. Not the grace that just makes it, you know, so you can go sin, you know, freedom to sin, and all this other garbage, baloney stuff. But yes, Jesus loves us. Yes, he has mercy. Yes, he is good. Yes, his mercy endureth forever. Not for a day, not for a week, not for a month, not for a year, forever. And his mercies are new every day. Some of you, you probably need new mercies from him every day.
Yeah.
some of you probably need it.
Yes, you know.
Some of us. And but nonetheless, the truth is, his mercy because he's kind. He's the Jesus we serve. He's kind. He is kind in this sense. He loves us. He cares about us. He doesn't wish harm on us. He wishes the best for us. And not to hurt us. Not to lead us astray. He doesn't want his sheep. Jesus does not want his people to be left astray. He used Paul to write these books. Some of these books in the New Testament. And he used Peter too. And he used those different epistles. And they wrote these books in the back of your New Testament. He wrote, they wrote them, Paul, Peter. And Paul, mind you, had previously been Saul. And he was persecuting. He was persecuting people. To the point where in the book of Acts, Jesus says right there to Paul, I'm Jesus who you persecute. And which, by the way, I didn't say that like with a voice actor thing to sound funny. I was pointing out that's what it was. That's what it was. And he had gotten struck there. And was basically blind. But then, you know, he repented and Jesus healed his eyes. Jesus healed his eyes of blindness. And that's part of what caused him to believe, because he was healed from blindness in his eyes. That was put there. And I know this. If God can heal Paul after he repents, he can heal me.
Yes.
And I know he's going to. I know he's going to. I know it's already paid for on the cross.
Yep.
It was already done. I just know my eyes are going to see it and they're going to feel it in the way that you feel it. I know that's what's going to happen. I know with confidence. I don't say it to try to sound cocky or anything like that. I try not to do that here. But I know from in my heart that it will be done, because I have faith in Jesus who lives in me, on the inside of me. And there's something I know, and there's another thing I know, another newsflash. Greater is he that is in me than he who lives in the world. And that is Jesus. He's greater. He's greater than anyone who lives in that world. That's what that is meant to mean when we say greater is he that who lives in me than he who lives in the world. So don't ever go around yelling that, saying that, speaking that in your mind, unless you really mean it, that greater is the one who lives in me than he who's in the world. And don't just use it as some silly cliche, you better mean it. If you don't mean it, don't say it. Just shush.
Yep.
Because by saying that, you're basically saying that he is greater. And the truth is, he is. But just when we say things like that, I want us to mean it and not just have it be something we say. Because
it
can be easy to say things you don't mean. And people say things out of anger and things like that. But if you're going to go around saying something that is a great thing to say, greater is the one who lives inside of me than he lives in the world, you better mean it. It's a great thing to say, but if you're going to say it, you better mean it. Because it's a powerful thing to say. It really is powerful. And that's why I say it when I say it, because I know there's power in it. And our words are containers. Because our words are containers, that's why we have to watch what we say with our mouth. And something about the words of our mouth I want to mention right now. With sickness and disease. Don't go around possessing these sicknesses and disease by going around saying, I have this, I have cancer, I have diabetes, I have liver stuff. I'm not giving away my myself either. I'm just saying, I'm saying you folks individually as listeners, whatever you might be dealing with. I have this. I have thyroid. I have no. See, don't be calling it my cancer, my health issues. You know, you call yourself healed instead, and say like you know, and don't be possessing these sicknesses by saying that they're yours. And instead, say what God says. Call yourself healed. And I don't allow myself to call, I don't go around saying my blindness, instead I say, I'm believing for my eyes to be healed.
To live in victory.
And to live in victory. And don't allow it to say my sickness, my diseases, Don't allow yourself to possess those sicknesses. Call yourself healed. Then my pastor told me about someone who referred to arthritis as Arthur. You are healed of Arthur in the name of Jesus, if you got it. And you would call it Arthur. Why would you refer to it as Arthur? You like having it? You like being in pain when you get up?
Hang out with Arthur all day.
Yeah, you actually like it? Yeah, just enjoy hanging out with Arthur. And you can just sit there and watch some TV with Arthur sitting there and watching you. But he's bugging you while you watch the movie. When God called to free you from it.
Yeah, victory.
He came to free you. So you could have victory over that arthritis. And I'm not going to call him Arthur here. It's arthritis.
Break it up, Arthur.
You are healed of the arthritis, and your body is going to be strong, and you're going to be healed because you were healed by the Most High God.
Amen. Yeah.
That's the way I see it, because the God I serve is the healer, and He makes a way when it seems like there's no other way. He makes one when it seems like all options have run out. When it seems like doctors have done all they know to do. Like with the issues of blood. The lady with the issue of blood. I think about her. She had spent all the money she had under the care of many, many doctors. Mind you, in that day, they didn't have the medical technology that they do today. But she spent all she had on medical care. But through that medical care, instead of getting better, all she did was get worse because it was so acute. No, not cute, acute. Her condition was so acute that all it did was get worse. And yet she was out there in these people with that acute medical condition. You know what, in the medical condition, in the medical community, they would call it, this person is very sick, has a very acute, extremely severe condition, the bleeding. There's a word they would use for that, hemorrhaging. No, what is it?
Yeah, hemorrhaging.
So she's hemorrhaging severely.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, if they could see it, they'd be like, why is she out here? Why is she out here? We don't want to see this.
Right.
But she's out there. And she says, well, if I just go touch the edge of his cloak, I will be made well. That's how Jesus wants us to be. Just touch the hem of his garment, and we shall receive from him what it is that we're believing for from him. Just be able to touch his garment. Just be able to touch his garment, and we can be made healed. We can be healed. Just touch his garment and be healed. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. That's what Jesus says. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. And don't allow yourself to possess sicknesses in your body through the words of your mouth. Because you decided to say, I have this, I have that. Instead, speak the word of God over your body. That's what you do. That's how we overcome. That's how we overcome. Because God didn't call us to be overcome. God wants us to be overcomers. And not be living in fear, but to be overcoming fear. To be overcoming sickness and disease. To be overcoming poverty. To be overcoming lack. Overcoming these things. And instead to be free. Not bound. Not you're downtrodden. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. Thank you that these listeners will get it in their hearts. They will realize that we are saved through grace, through faith, not by works. That we are saved through our faith in you. And that we can have what we ask for in prayer. And that you are, will realize that you are the God who moves on our behalf. That you'll help us to deal with our mouths. And I know I dealt with some stuff tonight, Lord. But I know I feel there were listeners tuning in tonight who needed to hear it. Thank you, Lord God, that they'll not only have heard it, but they'll take action on it and they'll seek you. And I thank you, Jesus, for that. In your matchless name, we pray. Amen. And amen and amen. And until next time, God first, God always. And remember, folks, tomorrow night we'll have Vaughn on with us and we'll be talking some March Madness and what we think happened in the tournament. And so if you had some kind of bracket, you know, come on. Tomorrow night. And we'll be talking about that. Until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.
Wait, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Sunday.